Good evening and welcome to Eroticism Magazine's weekly podcast. So far this season, I've had a lineup of incredible guests from the adult entertainment industry, from porn stars to cam models and content creators. Remember, this February 16th, Eroticism Magazine celebrated 15 years since we first launched in Spanish and 14 plus years that we were free to readers and proudly served as a tool to promote aspiring and accomplished ladies from sex workers to swingers and hot wives. Eroticism Magazine also covered erotic events including Sex Expo in Mexico City, the Black Tape artist events, gay pride marches, and the famous Miss Mexico Gay for over 8,000 monthly readers in both languages. For all our new listeners, eroticism is something that has the quality or character of being able to arouse sexual excitement or feelings. This quality may be found in many forms of artwork, including paintings, photography, drama, films, music, literature, and of course in today's advertising. I've said in the past that eroticism is a state of sexual arousal or sexual excitement, an insistent sexual impulse, desire, pattern of thoughts, or the anticipation of it. It's also referred to as one's ability to experience sexual thoughts, desires, and sensations. So without further ado, tonight we're talking eroticism, fantasies, and sex with Naughty MILF Holly Jane. Good evening, Holly.
Hello.
My name is Kevin, the erotic photographer, and I'm your host. Now, Holly is one of those top 1% content creators from OnlyFans. Now, Holly, tell me, fact or fiction, you're a mom, a Mormon, and an adult entertainment content creator. Is that correct?
That is a fact, yes.
Wow. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty, Holly.
Okay.
I know I have so many questions, and I'm sure our listeners want to hear all about it, but, you know, they say the naughty MILF, the naughty MILF, but you look so young, and obviously you take good care of yourself.
I try to.
when did you break into the adult industry?
So, I've always wanted to be in the industry. That's something that was always in the back of my mind since I was a teenager. I idolized, I don't know if you remember, Jenny McCarthy, Carmen Electra, they were funny, they had personality, but they were also kind of controversial. They were Playboy models, they dabbled in porn, and I kept it to myself being that, now I was Mormon and a lot of my friends were, and they were dreaming of getting married and going to college, and I was like, I want to pose in Playboy. I really didn't have the opportunity until I started all of this about 9 months ago.
Wow, so it's been less than a year.
Yes, it's been less than a year since I dove headfirst into this industry.
Now, what made you do it? And how did you make the jump into it?
Sure. So, like I said, it's something that I always wanted to do. I was never that person that, although I did have a corporate career, I went to work every day. I always thought, gee, if I could just do something I love, I don't want to be here. I'm not into this. Is it 5 o'clock? So I was home, and this was, let's rewind about a year ago. I was home and I was watching television and I saw this woman on the news, Miss Poindexter. Short story, her children were supposedly expelled from their Catholic school because their mother, Miss Poindexter, was outed by one of the moms to the principal that she is an OnlyFans star.
Oh.
I didn't fit in with this, Catholic school and their conservative ways. So they expelled these children. It made the news. Now, most people were thinking, these poor children. And I was like, wait, because they were discussing how much money she makes. And and they mentioned OnlyFans. I had never heard of OnlyFans because I was always thinking, I know I want to be in this industry, but where is my place in this industry? I don't want to be a porn star. I haven't tried out for Playboy. Like, where is my place? So watching this, and I immediately pick up my phone and I'm like, she's cute. I think I'm cuter than her. Let me Google this. OnlyFans. What's OnlyFans? The light bulb went off. It was one of those moments where I was like, I'm doing this.
So this was the crucial moment.
It was.
You were looking it up to see what it was.
Yes. Yes.
Because somebody else was, well, I don't want to say castrated, but somebody else was punished, and their children were punished because she was already an OnlyFans model.
Yes. So I started looking at, well, what is OnlyFans? And I, after doing a little bit of research, I thought, oh my goodness, okay, so this is that place. Like I said, I had always wanted to know for myself, where do I see myself in the industry? And because I didn't know my place in the industry, how can you begin something if you don't know where your place is within that industry? So I knew when I saw this and I started doing the research and I started putting a business plan together immediately, this is my place in the industry. This is the beginning, at least. It's not the end. And it hasn't been the end. But this is the entry point. This is what I'm going to do. And so immediately started putting a business plan together, applied on the site, and just dove into it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. How long after you dove into it did you decide to give up your mainstream job that was boring and you were underappreciated and all that?
Sure. Well, I was already working from home, so that made this transition a lot easier because I'm working from home. I had the freedom within my job. It wasn't, I didn't have my boss calling me all day long. It was really, you have the freedom to do your job as long as you get it done. And so for me, some days that would mean I work 2 hours. I've got the day to sit and ponder or, you know, do whatever I need to do for the day. So, that, like I said, that made that transition a lot easier. And I would say probably about 6 weeks into it, I quit my job.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. And, you know, when you were young, you talked about Jenny McCarthy, you talked about Carmen Electra. You know, we can also talk about the Baywatch girls, you know, and who actually did some porn, amateur porn, and some of them actually have posed for Playboy and Penthouse and other mainstream adult magazines. And in that case, I mean, you were young when you were looking at that. I mean, I was much older, but, you know, I enjoyed those shows too. And of course, Jenny McCarthy and Carmen Electra were sex models. You know, they're sex symbols on an international level at that time. And so that's what you were imagining for yourself.
Yeah.
But did you ever imagine yourself, you know, posing nude for a fan base on a mainstream website? Or were you more like, you know, here you are, you're now on OnlyFans, you're performing on camera. I don't know if you're actually, you know, performing. You're doing videos, making money selling your nude photos, your masturbation videos. So did you imagine that when you were thinking about this when you were younger? You know, you were thinking about Playboy. But were you thinking about beyond Playboy, beyond Penthouse, beyond those magazines?
So at that time, this didn't exist, right?
No, of course.
At the time, I didn't know about cam sites. I do now, but I didn't, you know, because of the community I grew up in, I didn't know about anything other than Penthouse, Playboy, Hustler. That's all that existed. And then, of course, you know, you can go into porn, but I was like, I don't know. That. So it wasn't an option. It didn't exist at all. I didn't know it existed until a year ago. It wasn't something I could dream up. I just knew that one day there will be a place for me, and I didn't know where that was. So I couldn't imagine it. I just knew, okay, you know, eventually I'll figure it out. But it's
the light bulb popped on that day you were watching. You were reading about it or you're watching it on TV.
Yes.
The light bulb popped on and, you know, you were like, hey, this is what I'm looking for.
Exactly. Because I didn't, yes, I finally found that platform that I can be a part of because it didn't exist prior to that. Because it was kind of like if you want to be an actress and, you know, it's like if mini roles didn't exist and all that's there is you know, the big roles. Well, you can't jump from being a nobody to going to the Oscars. It's kind of the same thing for me. Like, okay, I can't just go from being a nobody to being Playboy, and I don't want to be in porn. How am I going to do this? So when I saw OnlyFans, when I found out about this platform, I knew, okay, this is going to be the beginning for me. This is how I'm going to get my footing, and I'm going to grow from here.
And how are you doing with that now? Some key facts that maybe our listeners don't use. These are 2022 statistics from OnlyFans. They currently have 170 million users. Every day, 500,000 people join OnlyFans.
Right.
Right? And OnlyFans has 1.5 million content creators.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, you're there. Now, the top creators, and I don't know what they consider, you know, a top creator, whether it's the first, you know, the top 1%, the top half of a percent, they make $100,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure that that's not net revenue. I'm sure that that's a gross amount.
Right.
Before OnlyFans takes their, they take their, you know, their portion of it.
Right.
And then it's a, and then they go on to say that the average OnlyFans creator, you know, the not the top people, but the average one, makes about $151 a month. So it would be kind of like a hobby for them, or a second job, you know?
Yes.
And the average creator on OnlyFans has 21 subscribers. How many subscribers do you have on your OnlyFans?
I have around 2,000 subscribers.
Oh, wow. That's a nice number, way above average. And are you at all concerned? I mean, being in the Mormon church, are you at all concerned about church members or your family or friends or anybody finding out that you're doing this? I mean, I don't know if your family and friends already know, but, or your church members, but I mean, have you been concerned about this in the past? Or I know you came out publicly recently.
Yes. So yes, I was concerned. The concern didn't come from someone finding me on OnlyFans, because there really is no way to search someone. You have to find them through social media.
Right. So, you can't go in there and just, you know, look for their real name and see if they're there.
Exactly. Exactly. So, the concern came from, I promote myself through Instagram, through TikTok. I was on TikTok live, and someone in the messaging, because you can chat with the person that's live, which was me, someone typed my real name, blocking every other letter out. They were taunting me, right? And I blocked them immediately, but it happened again, and it was someone else. And then someone messaged and said, how do your kids feel about this? And it just dawned on me, okay, I'm being seen. Because of the tracking, it knows, it's a smart app, it knows to, when you go live or you put a TikTok out, to first show you to those in your area. So I'm being seen, I'm going to be outed. And that's when I got the idea and just kind of had that peace of mind, like, okay, I'm going to put myself out there. I am going to tell my story, because it is going to happen. I'm going to be discovered, and I don't want this to play out that way. It's going to be all
right. It's like controlling the narrative of how it comes out and what the story. I mean, there's a lead story behind it. I mean, you have a story behind it, even though the temptation when you were younger was there. Recently, there was a story that brought you closer to doing what you really wanted to do.
Exactly. Exactly. I wanted to control that. I wanted it to be on my terms. And so that's when I decided, I'm writing an article for the HuffPost. I'm going to be on some podcasts. I'm going to do interviews with media, and I'm going to put myself out there, because I want to be out there anyways. I want to be known. And so I'm ready to accept the consequences, or argue.
There you go.
And
so has anybody from the church approached you since the article was published, or?
Surprisingly, no. No one read it. I know nationally, a lot of people have read my article.
I mean, even I read it.
Yeah. A lot of people, it's a big publication. A lot of people do read the HuffPost. But no one in my church has read it.
Haven't commented about it.
Oh, I think they would. I think they would. It could be the type of media. It's more leftist media. And so if you think about the demographics of the church members and media that they're paying attention to and they're reading, especially with the war going on, I just think that I got lucky this time. But it will happen. And I was talking to my publicist about that yesterday. He said, eventually someone will see. Maybe you listen to a podcast or a story about you, and it will come out. You will have to be prepared for that. And so I said, I am. I'm prepared for it.
That's great. Now, with 170 million users, new users every day, and the competition of a 1.5 million content creators, which all aren't competition because everybody kind of has their own genre that they do, and they compete right. within their genres, not so much in the general. But what exactly do you offer fans to attract some of those 170 million users? You know, what makes you unique as a model and a content creator?
Sure. Yeah. No, this is something that because only a couple of friends, two people know what I do. That's it.
Really?
Yeah. Other than those that read my article and, you know, are on my Instagram. But in my personal life, too. That's it. And they asked this question. They said, tell me why you're going to be successful. This is, you're giving up, because I had a very lucrative career that I quit. No unemployment. No income coming in. This is what I'm doing. So I did have to explain that, answer that question, not just to my friend, but to myself, right? What makes me different? How am I going to be successful? Well, first of all, I mean, it's always been my mindset that you have to, everyone else is doing, and you have to focus on yourself. So I was a recruiter. I've worked both in a sales position as a recruiter and a non-sales position. So I know, there's always, if you're in a sales position, there's always competition. And, transparency and trust are very important. And just being consistent and being persistent. So I said to my friends, you don't know me very well. I'm very persistent. I'm very consistent in the work. So you have to, it's a lot of work. I think people think you take a few pictures, you make a few videos, you spend a couple hours up working. No, it's a lot of work. I probably work 70 to 80 hours a week at this. A lot of it promoting myself. But also, I think I'm just myself. I'm honest with my fans, and I say, I'm not a professional model. I'm an amateur model. And I'm the mom. I'm the MILF. This is who I am. This is my life. And I kind of treat my page like a sexy blog, and they really enjoy seeing my true self. So this is not just a persona. I'm not putting on a show. This is me, after I came out of the grocery store. This is me when I came home. This is me getting out of the shower, just kind of taking them through my day. And the feedback is that they love that because they feel like they have a connection with me. They're part of my life. That's part of the appeal. And also, I think a lot of men like the, oh, she's innocent, she's sweet, but she has a naughty side.
Oh, of course, yeah. And, it's about being real. And, when OnlyFans fans was developed, when it was first launched, the concept was for fans to get a more personal look into the people that they liked, the people that they followed.
Right.
And, and that's what you're giving them. You're giving them not only the adult entertainment side, at night when things get naughty, but you're also giving them the day-to-day, hey, this is me, this is really me. And I think that people do look for that. And that's great. And the other side of it is that you approach this with a business plan. You had a marketing concept in mind, mm-hmm. and you were going at it like you were opening a new business, which you literally were.
Right.
You were launching into what I guess you could call a franchise. You're a part of OnlyFans. You're part of like the OnlyFans franchise. You're a content creator, and you went at it with a business plan. You had, I don't know if you did tax, concerns and investigations and stuff like that.
Oh yes.
I think that's really important no matter what business you're going into. People jump into adult entertainment sometimes, from my experience, they jump into it because they think it's easy money, and people don't realize how much work goes into it. The successful cam models are live on cam 60 to 70 hours a week. They rest one day, and they might not even rest that day. You're saying the same, you're sometimes 70, 80 hours preparing content and doing videos and so on and so forth. And you know, I think that that's what people want to see, is what you're giving, and that what in the, and that is what makes you unique as a model and a content creator, right?
Right, right, exactly. Yes, yeah. That I'm sharing my life with them.
Exactly.
Yeah, because over and over again, what I hear is, you know, guys will message me and they'll say, you know, I could go look at Pornhub, but I really feel like I have a connection with you. You message me back. We talk about, you know, my day, or why I had a bad day today, or my fantasies. It's really anything goes, of course, within their, you know, within their guidelines, but almost anything goes, from chatting and talking about their day, or just sharing a, you know, a personal in their direct message sexy picture of, you know, here's what I'm wearing right now, to let's sext or let's do a video call. And they feel as though I'm their girlfriend. We're in a relationship.
Exactly. Like a long distance relationship. Yeah. You guys are texting, you're sexting, you're sharing the day to day.
Yeah.
And they're sharing with you and you're sharing with them. So it's an exchange of ideas, an exchange of emotions, and that's what you're creating. So I imagine you have really good fan retention.
I do, yeah.
And for you, I mean, what, you know, this podcast originally, it evolved from, you know, fantasies and not just the sex side, but the eroticism and the fantasies and all. And, you know, it goes back to everybody has fantasies. You know, your users, you as a person, I'm sure have fantasies, maybe some that you've accomplished already, some that you haven't. But do your fans ever share their fantasies with you and want you to help them live out a fantasy?
Oh yes. Most of them come to my page because they have fantasies specifically regarding MILFs, because that's what I put out there. I am a MILF. So I have younger men that are, you know, 18, 22, message me and say, oh, I wouldn't consider myself old by any means, but compared to a 22-year-old man, right? I'm an older man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're young compared to me.
For my Mrs. Robinson, you're so hot, you know, and they fantasize about that. Or or an older man that just, he loves a natural, you know, well-kept mom. You know, he doesn't want the 20-year-old that he doesn't feel like has a natural look, or, you know, really comfortable in her own skin yet, right? Because that takes time, I think, as a woman to kind of mature and be comfortable in their own skin, and that's kind of like, that's what he's after. So they come to me because they, what I'm providing, that is their fantasy. And so most of them, that's really what we talk about, is that MILF fantasy. Now that they know I'm involved in the church, that's another fantasy that we're exploring, right? Oh my goodness. Have you ever done it in the church?
oh my.
To kind of play that out, right?
Yep.
Have you ever snuck off in the bathroom? So it's a lot of conversations regarding that. And sometimes it's other things that they, some are strange. I've got to say, I every time I think I've heard it all, I have another insanely ridiculous and very strange request. And some I can say, you know what, we can explore that. Some I say, I can't help you with that. I have to say, very rarely do I have to say, I can't help you with that one.
What is the strangest request that you've ever gotten?
I can say anything on here.
Anything at all.
All right. I don't find this sexy at all. I was, and I don't understand it. So I said, no, I'm sorry. I can't and won't. Well, first of all, it's against terms of service on the site. I was asked to take a dump.
And that was what was in my mind.
Yeah.
Because that's a request that so many people get, believe it or not.
Right. Well, yeah. So I had to say, you know, instead of shaming his fantasy, because I never want to do that. I never want to
say, no, of course not.
You're weird, you're strange. I never say that. So I just said, gee, you know, we would get kicked off this site. I would lose my page if we did that. Let's, you know, explore something else. So just try to redirect. That would be... that would be probably the strangest. And there are some other strange things that I will comply with that I think are a little odd. Like, let's talk about, you know, what it would smell like if I smelled your armpits. It's a little weird.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know some of the biggest fetishes that are out there today, obviously, are, you know, the foot fetishes. Uh-huh. People want to see feet, the stockings, the heels and everything, which is mainstream. You know, yeah. It's not out of the ordinary. No. And believe it or not, I mean, even believe it or not, the pooping and stuff like that has become more mainstream. As horrible as it sounds, it's become so commonplace that models tell me all the time, you know, this guy sent me a message and he wanted me to poop on a piece of paper, and you know, it's like, or on a paper plate,
right?
And, you know, and I can appreciate everybody has their own fantasies and their own things that they want to live out. You know, their own fantasies that they want to live out, but you know, it's not for everybody,
right?
So you know, be respectful. You ask if it's denied or if it's considered. Just accept it. Don't, you know, don't get angry. Not everybody's into the same fetishes.
Yeah.
You know, like anal sex. I'm not, you know, I could care less about anal sex, and it's become such a commonplace nowadays.
Oh yeah.
I'm just like, you know, why has this gone so, you know, why has everything gone to that now? You know, and there's so much more to romance and to sex and to a relationship than, you know, just plugging the hole.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, my best guess would be, you know, we're always wanting to push the limits.
And we want to see how much we can push other people to push their limits. I think it's more that than us ourselves. I think it's more that people want to, you know, see if others are willing to do what they're not willing to do or what they can't do.
Exactly. Yep.
And that's a shame. Now, I'm curious, what, I mean, other than the economic remuneration as like a job, what do you get out of this emotionally and physically?
Well, so a lot of fun. I love connecting with my fans. I do like that connection. I'm very responsive, and I think that's one reason why my retention is so high. If somebody messages me, that's my first priority. I don't message anyone on Instagram. I'll look for someone contacting me that I need to send to my PR guy, but I'm not chatting on Instagram. So everybody knows, okay, she hasn't responded to me in a month. I better subscribe. And if you subscribe, I'll message you right away, because that's the only place I'm looking at my messages. So I really enjoy just connecting with them, chatting with them. I like learning about people. I like chit chat. I like making someone feel good. So I think these fans are allowing me to have the lifestyle that I've always wanted to have and do something that I love. And so it feels good to then in return make their day, because it does. A lot of these guys, I don't have a picture posted by 9:30 a.m. They're upset. If I send them a personalized photo, it will literally make their day. They tell me, you turned my day around today. This made my day. I had a bad day. It's better. That makes me feel good. So I'm living out the fantasy and living the lifestyle that I always wanted to live. Yes, I work a lot, but it's also on my terms. If we get off this call and I want to go get a pedicure, I can. If I have a doctor's appointment and I need to go, I can. If I want to take a nap, I can. If I want to work from Hawaii, I can. So it's allowed me a lot of freedom. And in return, it feels good knowing that I'm making someone else's day.
And you're also in control of your life. You're more in control than if you're working in a mainstream job.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
And out of all of those things, what is it that you enjoy the most? The freedom to decide what you're going to do and when you're going to do it, or the interaction with your fans?
I have to choose.
What do you enjoy the most? Let's put it that way.
Oh, of course, because everyone lives for themselves, right? We all live our own life. We all have our own motives. I really, really do love the freedom because I'm a mom. I am a single mom of four. My oldest is in college, but I'm a single mom. It's very busy. I'm managing a lot of schedules and I need to have the flexibility to do that. If I'm going to do this on my own, this has allowed me to do that and to do it well.
And to do it very well, yes.
And to do it well, not just to get through the day, but to actually be a good mom and even present because I wasn't prior.
You don't feel you were a good mom prior?
I don't feel like, I mean, I did my best. I don't feel
you
like.
You couldn't dedicate the time that you can now.
No. My kids had activities to go to. I couldn't get them there. I was always, forgetting about appointments because I was always stuck in my job. I always had some deadline to meet it was just difficult when you have to kind of work these set hours and get this done to then leave and take them to a doctor's appointment. And this one has a counseling appointment. This one has a dental appointment. I didn't really have that much flexibility. Now I do.
And now you can do everything that you need to do as a mom.
Right.
And still be the breadwinner of the family.
Right. Or I would miss out on, a school play or a sporting event because I had something, some sort of conflict. But now I control the schedule.
Now, right. I know we talked about porn earlier, Holly. We you talked about, how that wasn't something that you were really thinking about. But now that you've been 9 months and you're so popular on OnlyFans, the HuffPost article came out. Have you been offered to perform in any mainstream porn, or have you been contacted by any agents or producers?
Not many. One, I can't remember the name of the company, but I was early on, and I said, I will do a girl on girl. And she said, okay. And as we started to kind of go down that route and talk about the details, she said, oh, okay, so we're going to meet, and you're going to be working with this girl and this guy. And I was like, wait, no, girl on girl. So,
yeah, not a trio, girl on girl.
Right. So I didn't end up working with her because I was very clear about this is what I'm willing to do. And I'm not going to show up and you're going to have a different script.
Exactly.
This is what we're agreeing to. So it wasn't professional. But I would definitely entertain that. Would do that. I've always wanted to do some girl on girl content. That's something I haven't lived out yet.
Was going to lead me to another question I was going to ask you. Have you ever co-performed with another OnlyFans creator? And I guess the answer to that would be not yet.
Actually, my neighbor, he's only a creator because I told him to make the account, so he doesn't do much with his account, but. You have to have someone verified on your site. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. My neighbor is verified, and we have made some videos together. That happened. So I do have some guy girl content on my site, but I really want to do some girl content. And I'm talking with another model. We're talking about potentially meeting at the end of April. But I also wouldn't mind doing some professional porn work with another female model. I'd be up.
Little by little, right? Little by little.
Yeah.
And so what are your plans now for the future, Holly? I mean, you've gotten to a plateau, a small plateau. So what's ahead for Holly?
Sure. So I don't know if you're aware of this. I am now also on the Playboy Centerfold platform, which it's a new platform. So it's slower growing. We have to, I think they have a little bit of internal traffic, but I think they need to do some more marketing. They need to spend some money so that the world knows that Playboy now has the Centerfold platform, and that can more quickly grow. But I've opened that, and I just started, this is my first podcast interview. I'd like to do some more podcast interviews. The HuffPost was the first article that I wrote myself, but I think I'll continue to write more articles, do more interviews to grow my following and get my name out there.
Growing your brand.
build my brand. Yes.
The business perspective of growing your brand.
Exactly. And then this is a few years out. I'd say this is probably 3 to 5 years out. I will write a book.
Oh, wow. It took me 41 years to start writing a book, and I haven't finished it after a year. So.
Well, I'll hire a ghostwriter to help.
That's what I was considering, was, you know, having somebody, you know, do it for me. But the only person that ever volunteered to do it for me was a reporter from a news channel here in Mexico. And she was like, oh, I want to write it. And I was like, I want it in English, not in Spanish. So she was like, oh, I can't do it in Spanish. She can't say, I can't do it in English. I don't speak English. And I was like, it's okay.
That's it. Well, then you just hire a translator. You get it translated. Boom. You've got
Oh, no. I mean, I can translate. I mean, I speak fluent Spanish.
Oh, okay.
And I speak four languages. So, I mean, I'm not inept to being able to translate. It's just that I was trying to avoid the work.
Got it. Yep. A ghostwriter is the way to go.
Yep. But you still do have to spend time with them. You still have to do, you know, you have to talk to them. They have to do their research and so on.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on how you're going to have them write your story, you know, the twist you're going to put on it.
Right. Yeah. But no, I think I have just an interesting story to tell. There's just a lot of layers with my journey into the sex industry, some things that I went through personally. Death of a husband, and my experiences in the sex industry as a Mormon mom, I think would be interesting. So
there you go. And any advice for people out there that are now thinking about it, the girls or the guys that are out there saying, wow, somebody, you know, a Mormon, a mom, mm-hmm. and who was a mainstream business person, converted herself to a top OnlyFans promoter, content creator. I can do that. You know, what advice would you give to somebody new coming into it?
Sure. Number one, know what you're getting into. I knew that starting this would be like, it would be the same thing as if I said, I want to own a restaurant. Well, what does it take? You have to spend time at the restaurant. You have to build a business plan. You have to have a mentor. So really do your research, know exactly what you're getting into, have a solid written business plan. This is no different than starting any other professional business. Know that it takes a lot of work, and that, you know, that giving up is not an option. It takes, when you're first starting out, you know, probably 10, 12 hours a day of, you know, constantly promoting yourself and building.
Building your brand.
Yeah, exactly. You have to shut out outside opinions, not compare yourself to anyone else if you really want it, and just keep moving forward and know that tomorrow will be a little bit better and you'll inch a little bit closer.
Yeah, the only easy day was yesterday.
Exactly. Yeah, so if someone has that determination, that drive and the dedication, and the, like I said, the written business plan, you can be successful. That's what separates those, again, the 1%, and everybody else. That's it. It's not looks. It's the dedication and the consistency.
Yeah, the communication and the consistency with your fans.
Yes.
I think that's one of the biggest errors that most people that embark on either webcamming or content creating, no matter what platform they're on, whether they're on OnlyFans or ManyVids or any of the other ones that are out there, they don't build a consistency. One day they're there at 4 o'clock, the next day they're there at 8 o'clock in the morning, then they're there at 10 o'clock at night. So it's hard to build a fan base of people who actually have a schedule.
Right.
You know, you might have people in Europe that are connecting, you know, in the evening their time. And you might have people in the U.S. on the East Coast or the West Coast that are connecting at the time that's convenient for them. So if you don't set up a schedule of when you're going to be live or when you're going to be posting content, people look for somebody that's got a little bit more consistency. And I think so far, everything that you've talked about, you know, you've jumped into the business not, you know, not blindly. You knew exactly what you were getting into, well, more or less, and you built a business plan about it. You knew what your genre was going to be, And you know that the competition isn't about what the other guy is doing. The
right.
competition is about what you're doing. You know, and if people stop focusing on what everybody else is trying to do and stop trying to mimic them, they would be more successful no matter what platform they were on. I mean, I ask my personal opinion as a marketing person.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Any other personal twists that you'd like to throw out there before we close out for the night?
Personal twists? I'm still single.
Okay. And how many suitors do you have breaking down the door?
Oh, geez. I can't tell you. It's, you know, in the beginning, I was surprised I didn't get a lot of requests, but I would say I get about 30 a day requests for hire.
For meetups?
Yes. And also, if I even talk about it on, which I'm not meeting up with anyone. It's not on the table at all. You know, first of all, what do you even look like?
Exactly.
That's number one, but that's on the list of the reasons that are a no. But also, with the terms of service, they will shut you down so fast, even talking about that, because it's looked at as illegal prostitution. At least 30 requests a day. In my personal life, you know, I'm told all the time, oh, I'm sure people are just constantly, you know, asking you out. Not so much. You know, I show up to the school and everywhere in my Lululemon yoga pants, looking like a mom. And, you know, not that I look bad, but, you know, I don't dress like you see me on...
Provocatively.
No, I don't. I dress, you know, fairly conservative, and, you know, I'm always with my kids, so I don't get a lot of being asked out, and I'm so busy right now.
You wouldn't even consider it now because of all the work you've got going on.
Well, no, I mean, if I ran into someone and someone actually, you know... I don't know. I had a fantasy, like I'm at Trader Joe's and someone, you know, asked if they can help unload my cart and he's cute. Maybe. but no, I'm just so busy that it hasn't even come up because I think I'm not putting that out there to the universe that I'm ready to meet someone. But if it happens, no, yes, I will consider it. But people don't believe me. They're like, yeah, right. Getting asked out all the time. No, I'm really not. I'm only getting asked for meetups.
Yeah, and that's sad because I mean you are obviously you're a beautiful woman. You take very good care of yourself, and I do imagine that a lot of people can't get past the you know single mom thing.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure that there's a lot of guys out there that you know maybe they've already you know they were empty nesters before they got divorced or they were never married, and they never thought about having kids. You know, and they don't want to start over.
Right. Right.
So that's sad. That's very sad, but it happens.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. You know, I really appreciate you coming, and I really appreciate you being so candid and sharing your whole story with us. Next week, I have an incredible guest from mainstream porn, Valentina Bellucci. Valentina not only is an OnlyFans content creator, porn star, but she is also the producer of Step House XXX. Which is a step family genre of porn. So next Wednesday, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Central Time, we'll be here with Valentina Bellucci. You're going to enjoy it. Until next week, this is Kevin, the erotic photographer, your host, wishing you a great night filled with lots of fantasies and great sex.